Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And let's look at verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." For the Lord God. You know, everything we do, we're to be doing it for the Lord God. He said, the house that's to be built, it's going to be for the Lord God. It's not, you know, for my sake to glorify David or to glorify a man, to glorify Solomon. It's going to be for God's sake. It's for the Lord's sake. Verse 2 says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." It's King David speaking in this verse, and he says, because my heart's affection is so much towards the house of God, because I so much love the house of God, he says, I've given to the house of God over and above all that was prepared for this. I've given of my own gold, of my own silver, of my own goods and so on, my own wealth. It says, I've given, verse 4 continues, even 3,000 talents of gold, of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. We see the people, not just David now, but many of the leaders of the people and of the people of Israel, they too begin to give their gold and silver and things and iron, and they give precious stones, they give some jewels and so on, things that would be needed for the building of the temple. And the people rejoiced to do it, it says. They offered willingly with a perfect heart. Verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." He recognized God as being the Lord, the one who owned everything, that everything they had came from God. Notice he said, both riches and honor come of thee. He said, we understand we've just gotten it from thee. It's from your power that has made us great and so on. Verse 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee, and house for thine holy name, cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. Isn't that an interesting phrase? You know, keep this, even I think, keep this type of attitude in the hearts of your people. Prepare their heart unto thee. Verse 19, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, please, to speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray you'd help me, guide my thoughts and my words, that I would say the things this morning that you want me to say. And Spirit of God, would you work in our spirit, work in our hearts. Help our hearts to be prepared unto thee. Help us to have a perfect heart. Help us to have a heart that wants to worship you, wants to serve you, wants to love you like we should. I pray you'd bless now this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The key verse to this whole passage of Scripture is really back there in verse number 3. It's the key verse to all of it, because it's the beginning of David's attitude and even the people's attitude. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 3, where he said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Colossians chapter number 3. In verse number 2, what do we set our affections on? David said, I've set my affection on the house of God. I've set my affection. That's where he had placed it. That's where he had set it. He said, I'm placing my affection. I'm placing my love. I'm giving my heart's affection towards the house of God. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 2 in the New Testament, the Bible says this: set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Can I ask you this morning, ask myself the question, where do we place our affection? Where do we place our affection? What have we set our heart upon? Sometimes a child might set their heart on something that, oh, I'd like to get something. I'd like to work and save my money to be able to buy a new bike. And they set their heart on, I want to get something. I want to do something. And so on. Their heart is set on that. You know what? All of us set our heart on many things. We have our heart set on things. And that's determining. That is what we love. That is what we're choosing to love and think about and invest our time in, and maybe even invest our money in, and so on. Where do we place our affection? Who is it that we love the most in our life? Or what is it that we love the most in our life? And the Bible tells us we're to set our affection on things above, not on things in this earth. Well, when I think of that, I think, well, you know what? My affection ought to be set on the things of heaven and not just on the things of this earth. My affection ought to be set towards the things of God and not just towards the things of man. God wants us certainly to love him with all of our heart. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12 and verse number 30, there's a verse there that is a verse that's repeated a number of times throughout the Bible. The words of it are repeated a number of times. But Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30, the Bible says this: and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. You know that. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That's the greatest commandment. God made that clear. Jesus made that clear to his disciples. Boy, if we'd keep that commandment, everything else would just kind of fall into line. But we're to love the Lord God with all our heart. Our affection needs to be set on the Lord. Our affection needs to be set on the house of God. Our affection needs to be set on the things of heaven and the things of God and the things that are above. We're to love God. We're commanded to love God with all our heart. That being true, it's very important where we place our affection. It's important who we love. It's important what we love. Do we love God? Do we love God's house? Do we love the things that God loves? Let's go back to the story here this morning in 1 Chronicles at chapter 29. And I want to share with you some important truths. We've been preaching this year, at the beginning of the year, on kneeling. And we've talked about many things. And I want to preach to you on this topic this morning, kneeling in our hearts. Kneeling in our hearts. We read later in the verses there of how the people bowed down to worship the Lord. And I want you to see some things in this passage of Scripture that I believe show clearly how they were kneeling in their hearts to the Lord. They were kneeling in their hearts to God. Number one this morning, a loving heart produces giving hands. A loving heart produces giving hands. 1 Chronicles 29, again, verse number 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Again, notice what David says. Because I have set my affection to, or towards, because I've placed my affection on the house of God, I have given. I have given. A loving heart produces giving hands. It's been said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And that's true. You can give something without necessarily loving, but you cannot love without giving. To that which you love, to that which you've set your heart's affection, to that which you love and you think about and it consumes you and you think about it, you love it, you want to spend your time on it and so on. The things that we love, we give ourselves to. The things that we set our affection on and think about and we're concerned about and care about and we're emotionally invested in them, we'll give to that. You know what John chapter 3 and verse 16 said? For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave. Because God so loved the world, He gave. You know what? A loving heart produces giving hands. Where have you placed your affection? Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we won't tarry there long, but Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Where have you placed your affection? And where have you set your heart? What have you set your heart upon? Giving is one of the best indicators of what we love or who we love. Who we love. Matthew 6, verse 19 says this, Jesus speaking said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, all the treasures we can gather up and the things we can have on this earth, we don't take them with us when we die. They just get left behind. The things we have, it doesn't matter. Even the most beautiful of houses, even the most well-built house, you know what, it's still will deteriorate. It still will face wear and tear. The house we live in, it was a house that back 13, 14 years ago, 15, 16 years ago now, whenever that house was built, it was built with wooden windows and wooden window frames. And now, of course, it's nice to have plastic window frames and so on. We notice how they tend to last a bit longer. But you know what? No matter what you build with, it's all going to eventually rot away. It's all going to wear down. It's all going to be affected by the weather. It all wears the wood around our windows and so on. It's beginning to rot away and so on and not look so nice. And you get concerned about, a window falling out or something like that. You know what? Everything of this earth, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Says you invest your treasures in heaven, that will be lasting, and it will have a lasting reward. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the way the Bible says it, and that's fine, I like it, but we could reverse it, and it's still true. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Because what we set our heart's affection on, or what we give to, you know, what we give to, we'll love it because we've invested in it. The honest thing is, if Christians will be honest with ourselves, we all enjoy money. We enjoy what money can do for us. We enjoy when we can purchase something. We enjoy nice things. And what we invest in, we certainly love. You know what? When we give to something, we'll love it. When we love something, we will give to it. We will give to it. Giving is a wonderful indicator of our love. And I ask you, I ask me, is our heart's affection, is it set towards God? Is our heart's affection, is it set on things above? Do we love the things of above? Are we laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Treasures in heaven. I say this, number one this morning, a loving heart produces giving hands. A loving heart produces giving hands. Number two, let's go back to Chronicles. Number two this morning is this, a willing heart produces consecrated hands. A willing heart produces consecrated hands. 1 Chronicles 29, and look down to verse number 5. Verse 5. It said, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, for all the manner of the work to be made by the hands of the artificers. The artificers, those who would be going and taking the gold and silver, and they'd be melting it down, and they'd be making things with it, and so on. They'd be working with their hands to build some of the things necessary for the house of God. And we could read on and on through this chapter and other examples in scriptures where God's people, it was necessary for them to work with their hands and build some things for the house of God and so on. And it says at the end of verse 5, and who then is willing? Who is willing? Who's willing of themselves? Who's willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? It asks the question. David's asking the people, who then is willing? We've given, we've started to give some things necessary. Now who's willing to put their hands to the work? Who's willing to consecrate their service unto the Lord? The word consecrated means to give something, to dedicate something, to devote something for a divine purpose. How about that divine purpose being the purpose of the divine, being the purpose of God? What God would want us to do. God wants our lives to be consecrated unto Him. God wants our lives to be set apart for His purpose. You know what? Even our hands ought to be consecrated and given unto the Lord. That God, what do you want me to do with these hands? God, what do you want me to do with this tongue? What do you want me to do with my mouth? Do you want me to speak for you? Do you want me to witness for you? I consecrate my tongue unto you, Lord. That it's yours, I'll speak for you when you want me to speak for you. And God, I'll consecrate my feet unto you. That as Romans 10 and verse 15 and so on around there would teach us, we're to take our feet and to go with the gospel and to give it to other people. Will we consecrate our feet? Will we consecrate our hands unto the Lord? That when it's time to pick up our hands, when it's time to go, when it's time to do a work for the Lord, we'll do that work. Are you willing to consecrate your service unto the Lord? Are you willing to serve, to labor for the Lord in your local church? Can you help sometimes to clean the building or help to set up the building to prepare for services? Can you serve in a nursery or help in a Sunday school class with some children? Can you pass out some gospel tracts or some flyers or invitations to church? Can you knock on a door, use your hands to knock on a door and invite somebody to church? Can you learn to witness and share the gospel? Can you give someone a ride to church? Can you bake a pie or make some cookies for a visitor? Can you fix a meal for someone who's sick or shut in? Can you visit an elderly person just to cheer up their day? Can you use whatever skills you may have? Can you use some trade that you learned as a young person? Can you use that somehow in the Lord's work? Can you help in church ministry in some way, anyway? Can you help with a project to build something? Can you change the oil or rotate the tires or do a maintenance on a church van? Can you volunteer to do some jobs for the Lord in our local church? You know what? It could be one of many things, hundreds of things. But are you willing to consecrate your hands to the Lord? Are you willing to consecrate? Are you willing to consecrate your service unto the Lord this day? That's a question David asked. That's a fair question. Are you willing? Do you have a willing heart and consecrated hands to serve the Lord? I said this, number one, this morning, a loving heart produces giving hands. We see that in this chapter, and it's obvious, it's so true. A loving heart produces giving hands. Number two, a willing heart produces consecrated hands. Hands that are willing to work, hands that are willing to serve and be involved and maybe get our hands dirty to serve the Lord, to do something for Him. Number three this morning, I say this, a giving heart produces a happy life. A giving heart produces a happy life. Look down at verse number 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 9. We see the people giving. We see the people giving of their money, giving of their wealth. We see the people giving of their time and their effort and their labor to use their hands and be involved and to do the work of the Lord. And then verse 9 says this, then the people rejoiced. They rejoiced. They were glad. They were happy. They were excited. They enjoyed serving the Lord. They enjoyed giving. What kind of Christian people were these? I mean, they enjoyed giving, enjoyed serving the Lord. What a blessing. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. We see that these people, in giving of themselves and giving of their time and giving of their labor, giving of their effort, giving of their money, giving of their gold and their savings and so on, they were happy people. They rejoiced to do it. Willingly they gave with a perfect heart, and they rejoiced in it. Can I tell you something? Giving people are happy people. Giving people are happy people. My mom is a very giving person. A very, very giving person. And you know what? My mom is a very happy person. My mom loves to give and be a blessing. And it's just a regular part of her life. It's who she is. And she'll be a blessing to missionaries. And she'll be a blessing to people. And we talk every Sunday night on the phone. And my mom's life is so involved with others, helping others, talking to others, reaching others, witnessing to others. Recently, she met a lady in the grocery store, I think, and she began to witness to her there in the grocery store, and they talked, and now they've had some appointments, and they've met different times, and mom's taken her to Tim Hortons, and they've talked more, and my mom was witness to her and shared the gospel and is now wanting to help study the Bible with this lady. You know what? That's just a part of life for my mom. A visitor might come to church, or some seniors come to church, and for her to maybe take them out for lunch, or to try to do something for them, or to do something to help people. It's just her life. I've told you before, my mom, she works on a bus route in Orillia at her church. And she's always on the lookout for people to come to church, but she'll go visiting on a Saturday. Or sometimes if it's bad weather, she might call all these families and she's encouraging them to come ride the bus and come to church on Sunday. And she does that every week. And then every Sunday morning, she'll get up and, 7:30 or something like that, she has to be at a place to meet the bus. And she rides on a big yellow school bus. My mom's 73 years old. She'll ride on that big yellow school bus to go pick up some kids and pick up some families to come to Sunday school, to come to church. And if there's a need that some of those kids have, or some of those kids can maybe be sent to Christian camp in the summer, or go to youth conference or something, my mom will do everything she can to help send them to that. And she's just a giving person. You know what? She's a happy person. A happy person. A happy person. Some of you know Emmanuel Navarro, and he's been with us the last couple summers, and we've enjoyed giving to him and helping him and doing things with him. But he also enjoys giving to us, and he's very close to our family, and and treats us like a mom and dad and so on. And he spent Christmas with us too, and we enjoyed the time with him. And you know what? He kept asking, you know, can we go out? Can we go to Walmart and so on? And it's a joy to me to watch him just take joy in trying to go there and try to find some gifts or something for our children, or to find a gift for me and my wife and things. You know what? He has joy in it. He has joy in being a giving person. And he's learned that from his parents. And you know what? There's great joy in being a giver. Look at a verse with me in the Bible. Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 20. And verse number 35. Acts chapter 20. And verse number 35. The Bible says there, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, it reminded them of the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, the word blessed really involves being happy. It really does. There's other things entailed, but what the root meaning of blessed really is being happy, having joy. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know what? It'll give you more joy. It'll give you more happiness. It'll make you happy to give rather than to receive. There's great joy. There's great happiness in being a giver and seeing maybe the blessing you can be to somebody else, the joy that you can bring to somebody else. Oh, it's good to be a blessing to somebody else. But may I say, the greatest blessing in giving to somebody else is the blessing that you'll receive. What God will do for you, the joy, the happiness that God will bring to your heart when you can look and say, God, I've tried to give. I've tried to be a blessing to others, or be a blessing to your work, or be a blessing to God's house. You'll stand back like David did and like the people did, and you'll rejoice because your heart will be filled with a joy and happiness when you realize, I can offer willingly. I can offer with a perfect heart. And you'll know what Jesus said is true, that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, giving people are happy people. Giving people are happy people. I said a giving heart produces a happy life. Number one this morning, I said this, a loving heart produces giving hands. If we set our affection towards something, then it's just natural that we'll want to give towards something. Number two, a willing heart produces consecrated hands. A willing heart produces consecrated hands. Hands that will willing to work, willing to serve the Lord. Realize all our giving, all our service, it's unto the Lord. A willing heart produces consecrated hands. And number three, a giving heart produces a happy life. Two more things quickly this morning. Number four, a thankful heart produces an honest giver. A thankful heart produces an honest giver. Look back at the book of Chronicles with me, chapter 29. A loving heart produces giving hands. A willing heart produces consecrated hands. A giving heart produces a happy life. And number four, a thankful heart produces an honest giver. 1 Chronicles 29, let's look down to verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Listen, David had the right perspective of things. He realized that God was the one who had power over everything. God was the one who truly owned everything. And in verse 12, he says, both riches and honor come of thee. Honor comes from thee. Promotion comes from thee. Riches and blessings and wealth and possesses, all of it comes from thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. David realized that all that he had was because of God. It was because of the blessings of God. It was because of the goodness of God in his life. And David was truly thankful for it. He says, verse 13, now therefore our God, we thank thee. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Do you know that all their giving and all their willingness to serve the Lord, it all came as an expression out of them having a heart that was thankful to the Lord? He was thankful for all that God had given him, thankful for all that God had done for him in his life. This was a man who knew the Lord, and that thankful heart was what produced an honest giver. He says, "Now therefore, God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" He said, "Who am I, God? It's really not of me. It's not that I'm great." He goes on and on. "God, you're the one that's great. It's your majesty and your power. It's because of your blessing upon us that we even can give willingly like this. It's because of your blessing, God, that we can be able to give all that's needed to be able to build the house of God, to build this temple for your glory and for your name." He said, "Who am I that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" He's saying, really, God, it's such a privilege to be able to give. He says, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Because as we understand these verses, he says, all the things I've gotten, God, they've been from you. And we know that really you're the one who owns everything anyways in the first place. So really, God, in our just being able to give back to you generously as we've done, it's God, we've really just returned to you what was already yours already. I know I said already twice. Sorry about that. We're just giving back to you what is yours, God. What belongs to you. And that's such a privilege. "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." He said, "God, everything we have, it's really yours anyways. You gave it all to us. And when we return to you willingly, it's just us giving back to you what's yours already. And all that we've given, it's come from you, from your hand. It came from your hand to our hand, and we were just able to give it back to your work." He says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. Thou testest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me in the uprightness of mine heart." See, an upright heart. A heart that will do uprightly. A heart that does the right thing. A heart that is honest. A heart that honors and wants to please God. "In the uprightness of mine heart have I willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." Listen, thankful Christians will be honest with God in their giving. Thankful Christians are honest with God in realizing that all that we have comes from God. He's the owner of it all, and we are just simply good stewards of it, or to be good stewards of it. People who rob God of tithes and offerings are unthankful people. They do not truly appreciate all that God has done for them. If we're thankful Christians, then we ought to be honest with God and obey His commands. As we learn God's Word, as we grow as a Christian, as we grow in grace, we ought to pay the tithe, the first 10% of all our income and increase, and we ought to bring our offerings unto the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." In this lesson, Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He told this church, he told this group of Christians that as they were growing in the Lord and as they were growing in many different Christian graces or Christian virtues, he said, you ought to also be growing and abounding in the grace of giving. Listen, the people that we read about in 1 Chronicles 29, these are people that were honest with God. These are people that were paying their tithes and they were generous and sacrificial in their offerings and in their givings now to the building of God's house because their heart was overwhelmed with thankfulness to God. There's no way around that. It's so clear in the scriptures. They thanked God. They praised God. They realized, God, all that we have comes from you. And what a privilege it is to even be able to offer willingly after this sort, after this manner. God, it's not that we're great givers. It's God that you're the great giver. It's from your hand that we've received all that we have. The home that we live in, the shelter that we have, the money that we have, the job that I have. God, it's all because you've blessed and because of what you've done and because of how you've taken care of me. Oh, they were honest givers because they had a thankful heart. They had a thankful heart. I said this morning, a loving heart produces giving hands. A willing heart produces consecrated hands, willing to work and serve the Lord. Number three, a giving heart produces a happy life. It's truly more blessed to give than to receive. Number four, a thankful heart produces an honest giver. And number five, a giving heart is proof of a kneeling heart. A giving heart is proof of a kneeling heart. A kneeling heart. Look with me at verse number 18. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day. I mean, 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs. With their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. A giving heart is proof of a kneeling heart. There's no doubt these people had a giving heart, a willing heart, giving hands, consecrated hands, thankful heart, honest in their giving. But you know what? This giving heart is proof of a kneeling heart, a heart that was kneeling to God, submitted to God. I think they had a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. Verse 19, David prayed for his son Solomon would have a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy statutes, thy testimonies, to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Verse 18, he was saying, he said, I mentioned it earlier, I want this type of heart, I want this type of attitude, I want this type of giving heart. I want it to continue forever in your people. Let your people always, God, let your people always have that kind of a heart. A surrendered heart. A heart that's surrendered to God is a kneeling heart. A kneeling heart. I see a worshiping heart in verse number 20, where it says, they bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord. They bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord. A worshiping heart. Verse 21. A sacrificial heart. And they sacrifice sacrifices. They'd already given, you know, gold and silver and their time and their effort and their labor and all kinds of things to build the house of God. But he says, now we're going to make some sacrifices. We're going to have some sacrifices, some animals. And it's typical for every family to bring an animal for that. Sacrificial hearts is what the people had through this whole passage of Scripture. Surrendered heart, worshiping heart, sacrificial heart. Well, that's the kind of heart that kneels and says, God, what do you want? God, what do you want from my life? God, what do you want from me? What do you want from all my life? God, I want my ears and my eyes and my hands and my feet and my lips and my tongue, my mouth. I want it all to be consecrated unto you, Father. Father, I want it all to be consecrated to you. I want it all to be given to your divine purpose. And God, what do you want me to do to serve you? Will you consecrate your service unto the Lord? You know, a surrendered heart, a worshiping heart, a sacrificial heart, a kneeling heart. That's the type of heart that says, God, I'm so thankful for all you've done for me. And God, all that I have is because you've given it from your hand. You're the great giver. And God, if what do you want me to do? How can I willingly follow your example, Father, and offer after your sort, after your giving, after your example? Your giving is proof of your attitude. Are you kneeling and submitting to God? Your giving is proof of your love. What have you set your affections on? Is your heart set on yourself, or is your heart set on God? Is your heart set on things of this earth, or is your heart set on the things of heaven? Are your heart's affections set on things above, or things of this earth? Oh, I want my heart's affection to be set on God, and God's house, and God's work. You know what? A loving heart produces giving hands. A willing heart produces consecrated hands. A giving heart produces a happy life. A thankful heart produces an honest giver. And a giving heart is proof of a kneeling heart. I pray that God would help us to have the same desire that David did. God, would you help me to have that kind of a heart? God, I want a heart that kneels. God, I want a heart that's given to you, surrendered to you, submitted to you. Father, I want a heart that's thankful and that recognizes your goodness to me. I want a heart that is thankful. I want a heart that loves you above all else. We're commanded, aren't we, to love God with all our heart. But as God, in verse 17, told us, He tries the heart. He tests the hearts of mankind. You know what one of the greatest tests for the heart of mankind to prove God, if we really love Him, is do we have giving hands? Do we have giving hands? If God was to test our heart, would He find it true that, boy, they do have a perfect heart. They do offer willingly. They do offer with a grateful and thankful heart. Why don't you ask God to help you to have that kind of a heart? That you'd have the giving hands become the giver God wants you to have. Consecrated hands. Are you willing to get involved and serve the Lord? Giving heart will produce a very, very blessed and happy life. Thankful heart produces an honest giver. Giving heart will give proof that your heart is kneeling to God. Let's pray together, dear Heavenly Father.